Okay, well, good morning. Sean, thank you for praying for my voice that I would have the words, because that is a big prayer request this morning. My voice endurance is a little bit like this. So, good morning. This is Kids Sunday, and I love Kids Sunday. And thank you, Michael. And I sure did like the way you engaged the kids, Michael. Thank you. That's, I think that's a great thing. And if there's one thing that maybe I can be a help to adults as an old-time teacher, when you have Bible reading in the home, it's really great to engage your kids with questions. You know, sometimes I've been in homes where they read the Bible, which is great. But then it just, that's it. And I think that sometimes it's very possible, maybe not among you, well, maybe, that the kids just kind of go to sleep during the devotional reading. You know what I'm saying? But a question or two here or there can spark discussion and thinking. So anyway, my dad, when we were growing up, would always say, I want you to listen close because I will be asking questions. So, okay. All right, so Psalm 106 is our text. Do you have your Bible? Look in the middle of your Bible. Let's find the Psalms. And then when you get to the Psalms, look for chapter 106. And while you're doing that, I'm going to just practice this little device here. Yeah. Very good. 106. Can you understand me all right? Would you raise your hand if you can understand the kids? All right. I'm going to do my best to be clear. You know, I don't know if you kids ever know, you knew I had surgery, right? To take out cancer. Did you know about that? And there was a pocket of cancer below my tongue that was about the size of a golf ball. And they had to dig that out of there, and they had to take away a third of my tongue, too. So that's partly why I talk a little weird. But it's getting better, and I think they might do another surgery, so this might be my last time to talk for a little while. I'm not too sure when this will be, but when I have that surgery, I might have to kind of lay it low again for a while. So we'll see. But, so, Psalm 106, there are two important themes, big ideas that you need to know about. And the one idea, you'll see this, is that with God, we need to be careful to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord. Because the Lord does not appreciate sin. There's no sin with God, right? Sin grieves God. It makes God very sad when we sin. And the second thing about it, yes, Abby? What is the word? Fear the Lord means to be in awe of Him, to reverence Him, to respect Him, to be afraid when we sin. Because He's so good and righteous. So, there's a verse in John, and this is a very important verse. Jesus said to His disciples, when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will convict. That means make you feel almost kind of sick inside of you. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Those three words are all the way through Psalm 106. As you read it, you'll read about sin, you'll read about righteousness of God, and you'll read about the judgment of God. That would be like the punishment of God. Have your kids ever been punished? Do you know what a spanking is? Unfortunately?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys know what it is? Judgment, yeah. Yeah, it's a painful thing. My dad had a black stick. All he had to do was look at it, and we thought, ooh. sin. We didn't want to do it. Well, see, that's what God teaches his people, that sin has consequences. You know what consequences are? Well, it means your sin will find you out. If you sin, God knows about it, and there's punishment sometimes. Chastening, we call it sometimes, if we want to soften it a little bit. But sometimes you'll see that God's punishment was severe. Okay? And God is righteous. Okay. The other big idea in Psalm 106 is that God is full of mercy. How many of you like mercy? I love mercy. Sometimes my dad, when I was a kid, would say, "You deserve a spanking, Joel, but I am going to show you mercy this time." Oh, I was so glad. No black stick. That was great. So mercy is a wonderful thing, and God is full of mercy. But this is the balance, you see. If we think of God only as full of mercy and we forget the fear of God, we might just be a little careless, don't you think? We might just think, well, God's going to forgive me anyway, and he's full of mercy, so I'll just go ahead and sin, and then I'll say I'm sorry, and everything will be fine. Well, you see, the thing is about that is that there are consequences of sin, you see. So we need to have both. We need a fear of God, and we need to understand that he is a forgiving God, and he is full of mercy, and he's a savior. And this is a big thing, is that even though we're going to read today about lots of sin with the children of Israel, we're going to see that God never left his people. And that's an important thing to remember. He will never leave you or forsake you. All right, let's look at verse 1. Have you got it? Psalm 106, did everybody find it?
Yeah.
All right, let's read verse 1, okay? Let's we read it together? You can read right with me if you like. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Okay, now, parents, just a side note, I highlighted some words here that I think are important to go over with kids. I wouldn't assume that they know them. So that's just kind of like, ask the kids, what does praise mean? Anybody have an idea? What do you think?
Praise means like giving praise to God, like
yeah.
When the ark was returned and then they were praising God by the
angels. Excellent example. I like that, Aaron. Thank you. Anybody else? Abby, what do you think? Excellent. Wow, that's really something. What do you think, Ellie? What is praise? A little louder for me?
When you sing to the Lord.
Singing can be praise, you bet. Words of praise in a song. What do you think, Saraya? Good. Saying good things about the Lord. What do you think, Lucas? Oh, okay, you can tell me later, okay, Lucas? All right, well, those were good examples of praise and actually a pretty good definition. It actually means, the word praise means to be dear. So if I could just say it this way, it's when we treasure the Lord and talk about our treasure. Do you know, if you really like horses, if horses are really dear to you, guess what you like to talk about? What do you think you talk about if you really love horses? What do you talk about? What do you think?
Horses.
Horses, yeah. If you like rocks, which I happen to like, what do I like to talk about? You know, right? Tell me, all of you.
Rocks.
Rocks, exactly. If I love my wife, and she is especially dear to me, I'm embarrassing her now, I like to talk about her, right? I would say to you kids, Oh, you should see my wife, your grandma. She is something special. Well, I treasure her, so I praise her, right? I praise her. Man. So anyway, that's what it means to praise God. Now, here's something you need to ask yourself. Do I praise God? Do I treasure God? Do you think that we treasure and praise God enough? What do you think? Saraya? Yeah, I think we could improve on that area, don't you think? All right, and then thanking and praising really go together. To thank the Lord. Do you know, one time Jesus healed 10 lepers. You know, leprosy was a terrible sickness. Those poor people, they suffered with that leprosy. And do you know that after the Lord healed them, only one of those guys came back and thanked the Lord? Just one. What happened? Jesus said to him, what happened to the other nine? Yes, Ian.
Which is the Samaritan?
The Samaritans? Yeah, that might be another story. Yeah, Aaron? Yep, they got all excited about their new life, but they forgot to give thanks. So, you see, I'm just saying, boys and girls, and the psalmist who wrote this psalm is telling us, praise the Lord, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, I think we all know what mercy is, right? We talked about that already. But what does it mean to endure forever? What do you think? Ellie, what do you think? Forever. That's a good word. More, Abby? Yeah. Yes, that's great. And what do you think, Soraya? Always, yep. And what do you think, Jocelyn? Right, good. Boy, you guys nailed it. Nice job. All right, let's look at verse 2. You still got it in your Bible? Okay, you see, one of the things that you should always do when a speaker tells you about God and his word, and is telling you about something from God's word, you should check it out for yourself and see if what he says is really true. I had said that one time to a class at Stilson Elementary School. We had a good news club, and I said the Bereans were more noble-minded because they checked the scriptures to see if the things that the Apostle Paul told them were true, and they checked him out. Even the Apostle Paul had to be checked out, you see? And so one of my students came up to me the next week, and he said, Mr. Anson, I read that passage and I checked you out. I said, yeah. He said, what you said was exactly right. Oh, what a relief. So, you know what? Check it out. Because whose word is true? My word or God's word? What's
God's word.
Yeah, you can really trust God's word because sometimes I get it mixed up. Right? But God will never mix up. It's always right on target. All right, verse 2. Who can utter the mighty act of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? What in the world does that mean? What do you think? Lucas? You can tell me. God, yep. Is that talking about speaking to God? Nice. Okay. What do you think, Abby? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Good. So uttering is talking about, and when we're talking about the mighty thing, acts of the Lord, wow, that's like praising him. But the question is who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Well, and then who can declare all his praise? Well, I think to a certain degree that we can. For example, I can tell you God is a mighty Savior, and I know it personally because He saved me from my sin. And I know it because God has reassured me of this in the Bible. That's a mighty act of God to save a soul. And in this story, we're going to look at some mighty acts that the Lord did. But do you think that there's any human being, any boy or girl, in this world that can tell us all the wonderful things that God has done? Is there anybody? No, no. There's only one. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that He has declared Him. He has declared He was the Word of God. And He was the one that came and declared the works of the Lord like nobody else ever did. All right. Well, I think we can never say enough good things about the Lord, but should we try? Yep, yep. I remember one time David and I were counseling at Storybook Camp. David, you were my junior counselor. And we walked in the door, and there was this guy. He looked kind of creepy. And he said to us, "Are you one of those Christians?" I said, "That's Storybook Lot." And I was starting to say yes, but David said, quite loud and quite powerfully, "Yes, and I'm not ashamed of it." Oh, good job, David. I think the kid was even a little bit taken back by that. You know what? We should try, right? Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. He's a mighty Savior, and He's a mighty God. All right, let's move on. Verse 3. Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. What is justice? Anybody have an idea? What do you think? I'll let Eliana answer this. Well, yes, I think you're getting close. That's a good try. It's not easy to define it, is it? What do you think, Jocelyn?
Maybe like doing the right things and giving up consequences rightfully and
yes.
Rightfully.
I'll tell you a little something that might help you with justice. Sorry, maybe we'll ask you another question later, okay? You know, justice is something that requires all the information. And when I looked up the word, it has to do with God's perfect law. You see, God's perfect law shows us the whole picture, the way God sees it, and then He shows us how to judge. Now, I don't know if I'm making connection here yet, but I think I will now. It's like this. Let's suppose that there is a dispute between you and your sister or you and your brother. And you have a dispute. You know what a dispute is? You have an argument. You have a problem with your brother or your sister. And you go to your mom or your dad and you tell them. You do that sometimes? You do that? Yeah. Yeah. And you tell them all about it. And you tell them what your brother or sister did that annoyed you so much. But you don't tell them what you did. Right? Does that ever happen? You kind of forget to tell them that part. And then you want justice. Well, how can your mom or dad give justice if they don't know what you did? Right? You see, we have to know it all. We need to know both sides. And in our court, boy, I tell you that the judge, he's going to hear from both sides before he gives justice, you see. So we need God's word, God's perfect law, God's perfect word to get just thinking in our heads. All right. So, anyway, by the way, God blesses people who keep justice and who do righteousness at all times. Do you know anybody? I better hurry up here. I think I'm losing a couple of you. Aaron, are you with me? Oh, good. Okay. Sometimes kids are with me and I can't tell. All right. So, do you know anybody who is righteous at all times? Logan, do you know anybody who's good all the time? They never get in trouble? Do you know anybody like that? What? Yes or no? Yes? You do? Who? You can ask your mom or your dad. That's okay.
Jesus.
You are right. He was the one who did good all the time. Do we do good all the time? Are we righteous all the time? No, I'm sad to say we don't. All right, but what should we try? God helps us, right? God helps us to do what's right. All right, let's move on. All right, verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. Oh, visit me with your salvation. The person who wrote this psalm was asking God for salvation. Now, sometimes the psalmists, when I read them, are looking for salvation from their enemies. They want to be saved from some very dangerous people who are trying to kill them. And sometimes they pray for salvation for their whole nation. But there's another salvation that we need that God gives, and that's from our sin, right? Because if we are not saved from our sins, we are in great danger of everlasting fire, right? A lake of fire. And it's called the second death in the Bible. And we don't want to fall under God's judgment. We want to get saved. And so the psalmist was saying, remember me, O Lord, remember me. I can tell you this, boys and girls, God will never forget you because he made you and he loves you. And he wants to save you. I hope that you're all saved. Let's move on. We're going to skip to verse 6, and then we're going to move fast. All right, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity, and we have done wickedly. How many of you have ever heard of the word sin? Raise your hand. All right, how many of you have heard of the word iniquity? How many of you ever heard the word wicked? Okay. Do you know the difference between the three?
No.
Or do you kind of know?
They don't know one of those.
Okay. Okay.
Iniquity.
Yeah. Okay. Iniquity? Yeah. Okay. Well, let me just help you a little bit. I looked them up. Sin means to miss the mark. It means to miss the mark of God's righteousness. Fall short of God's righteousness. You see, it says in the Bible, you know, sometimes we think of the gross sins as sin, but you know that whatever is not done of faith is sin. And it says that whoever who knows what to do that is right and does not do it, to him it is sin. You see, God's standard is very, very high. And if we don't meet God's standard, we fall into sin. That's why the prophet said, all our righteousness is like filthy rags. You see, we miss the mark. And this psalmist, as he prayed, said, Lord, we have sinned. Have you ever done that with the Lord in your prayers and said, Lord, I have sinned? Have you ever done that? We need to confess our sins, don't we? For God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right, iniquity means to pervert. It means to make excuses for our sin. Do you ever make excuses for your sin? To say, well, I did this, but he made me do it. Ever do that? Or, I did this, but I didn't mean to. Or, I did this, But I was trying so hard. Do you ever make excuses? Yep, I'm afraid we do. And that is iniquity. That's iniquity. Alright? Is God like iniquity? Aaron, does God like iniquity?
No.
No. He does not. And then the last one is wickedly. Whoops, back we go. Wicked means, you know, what?
Somebody bad.
It's related. What do you think, Jocelyn?
Evil.
Yes, it's okay. You know what it means? It means to think sin without stopping, without saying I'm sorry. It means to be stubborn with your sin and say, I'm going to keep sinning even though I know it's wrong. That's a problem, isn't it? That's what wickedness is. When you won't be corrected. When your mom and dad says, you need to stop sinning. And you say, no, I'm going to keep on. You might not tell your mom and dad, but you just, in your heart, in your mind, you're going to stick with it. Even though you know it's wrong. That is wicked. And may the Lord help us not to be wicked boys and girls, right? Because those things grieve the Lord. All right, let's move on. All right, now we're going to start our story time here. And so the first part of the story is that the psalmist goes way back to the time when the Israelites were in Egypt. Do you remember when they were slaves there? Oh man, it was rough. They worked out in that hot desert sun day after day, building all of these wonderful things for the Egyptians while they sat and drank tea and just having all this easy time while the Israelites did all their dirty work. Oh, it was terrible. And if they didn't work hard enough, they would whip them. And this went on for hundreds of years, 400 years.
What?
It was terrible. And do you know that it got so bad that they even started to kill their babies? Those Egyptians, they were cruel. And God heard the cry of his people. There must have been some people praying because God sent a deliverer to save them. Do you know who the deliverer was? Who was he, Eliana?
Moses.
It was Moses.
John?
It was Moses. Moses was sent by God. Do you remember God called him at the burning bush? Remember the burning bush story? God said to Moses, take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. And then God began to tell Moses what he wanted to do. He heard the cry of his people and he wanted him to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, Moses was kind of nervous about that, but God helped him. And it's a good thing. But you know what? When Moses went to the people of Israel, they did not understand. They just didn't. At first, they wouldn't believe Moses. And then when he did some things, and there was some early trouble, they right away said, it would have been better if you never came. And they didn't understand what God was doing. Even after God was doing marvelous wonders in the land of Egypt. Do you remember some of the wonders that he did? Do you remember some? Let's see if they're up here. Well, let's just go ahead here. So, they, on the Passover night, we actually went through this not too long ago. God told them to eat the Passover in haste with their shoes on their feet and their staff in their hands. He said, because it's the Lord's Passover. And when they were done with the Passover, they were told to leave Egypt and walk out. Don't worry about your slave drivers. The Lord is going to save you this day and he's going to roll away your reproach. And so, as soon as they were done with their Passover supper, away they went. They walked out. In fact, as they left, they told the Egyptians, do you have anything you'd like to give us before we go? And the Egyptians gave them all their silver and gold. and said, here you go, please go, and don't ever come back. Because God had sent 10 plagues. Do you remember the plagues? They didn't want any more of God's plagues, so they said, please go. And so they left. Well, God marched them to a spot right by the Red Sea. You remember that? And they got to the Red Sea, and they thought, where did we go? They didn't know how to swim. They were slaves. They didn't know what to do. What, Ian?
God lifted up the wall so they could go through.
Oh, yes, you know the
story. And then when Pharaoh's people came, then he slammed it back together.
Nice job. Yeah. Well, they got to the sea, and Ian knows the story, but they didn't. You see, they didn't know what God was going to do. And so, do you know, they said, well, Moses, we need to pray about this, right? Is that what they said? Because Pharaoh changed his mind, and he got 600 chariots, and he got their bows and arrows, and he said, let's go after them. What have we done? We let our slaves go free. What were we thinking? And so after them they went. And was there any place for them to run?
Yes.
The Egyptians? Well, not at first. At first, the Red Sea was there, and it was deep and wide and long. There was no escape. And so, did they sit down with Moses and have a prayer meeting and ask God, what shall we do? Is that what they did?
No.
No. What did they do?
They prayed to God.
They what?
They complained to God.
I wish they had been.
Complained.
Oh, is that what you said? Complained?
Yeah.
I got to check my hearing. Mm-hmm. Hearing, you're right. They did. They complained. And they complained to Moses. And they said this. Why have you done this? Let's see here. I'm sorry. Let's move on. They did not remember God's many mercies, but rebelled by the sea. And they said this, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you done this to us, to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Oh my. Did they remember God's wonders? Were they remembering God's good things?
Yeah.
No, they were afraid, weren't they? And sometimes fear and unbelief and forgetting is a real problem for us as Christians. It was for the Israelites. You see, two things that I can say to you in this chapter that we need to do that will help us is remember God and trust Him. Remember God and trust Him. If you forget everything else I tell you, remember those two things, okay? But they forgot God, and boy, did they start getting ugly. Oh, man. Let's move on. And so God, this is what God had to say about it. God said, they did not remember. The psalmist says, God's many mercy, but rebelled by the sea. Okay. Well, you see, this problem of their sin got worse because it developed into wickedness. And they wouldn't change their mind. And it just got in such a state that they were mad as a hornet. And they were complaining to Moses. And boy, oh boy, I think it must have been a hard thing to be at Moses at that time, because these angry people, there was about 1.5 million of them, and they actually, I think, preferred to go back to Egypt. Well, they were acting like an enemy. Would you say they were acting like an enemy of God? Yeah. By all their complaining and all of their accusations and all of their unbelief, and they didn't give God credit for anything. All they could think about was Pharaoh is coming with his mighty chariots and weapons of war, and we're as good as dead. That's all they could think about. What might have happened if they had remembered and trusted God? What do you think would have happened? Do you think they would have moaned and complained? What do you think?
No, Soraya. They would be happy.
That's right. What do you think, Soraya?
If they had remembered. Nice and loud so we can all hear.
Yeah. But what would they do with their fear? I mean, they were afraid. Wouldn't you be afraid? What could they do instead of complain? What do you think? Yeah. Pray. Absolutely. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus and he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Trust fully in his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? Right? They forgot to pray. They forgot God. Very important lesson for us. It's amazing how we seem to miss it, even your moms and dads, even Uncle Joel or Grandpa Joel. We all have this problem of forgetting. Well, Moses, he said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In other words, it's time to be quiet and stop complaining. And then we know that Moses prayed, because you read about it in the next verse, verse 15. And after he prayed, he obeyed God, and he took his staff and stretched out his hand over the sea. And Ian, this is what you were telling me, right? And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Now, while this was all happening, did you notice it did not happen instantly? It took all night. Why didn't the Egyptians kill them while this was happening? Why not? Do you remember, Abby? You're close. You're pretty close. What do you think, Ellie? Yep. God was leading Israel with a cloud, right? In front of them. But when Moses prayed, the cloud moved to the back of them, behind them. And God's cloud separated the Egyptians from God's people. And to God's people, the cloud was a light. But to the Egyptians, it was darkness. In fact, it was so dark, the Egyptians could feel the dark. They didn't even know where they were. They couldn't even find each other. They probably had to call out, "Are you there? Are you there?" And they were in trouble because of God's darkness. And you see, God was at work. God worked everything out. So that they weren't going to die. God was saving them. They forgot God. They needed to remember God's wonders. And so God made a pathway through the sea. And, oh boy, what a wonderful day that was. A day of salvation. So the children of Israel went into the middle of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So when did they believe that God was their Savior, before or after? After the miracle or before? Soraya?
After.
Yeah, after. Wouldn't it have been better if they would have believed in God before? That would be faith, wouldn't it? You see, God wants to move us from sight to faith. Without seeing, he wants us to believe. You see, if we remember God, what a wonderful God he is, we can learn to trust him before we see the answer. And so that was one of the lessons that they were learning. All right, let's move on. So the Egyptians, they thought, oh, this is pretty great. You know, if they're going to go through the sea, we will too. And so Pharaoh commanded his men, and down they went into the pathway, into the sea in hot pursuit. They were chasing the Israelites right into the sea. And Do you know, it's interesting here. It says here that God troubled the army of the Egyptians, and God himself went down and pulled off the wheels of their chariots. That would make it kind of hard to chase, wouldn't it? I'm sure Pharaoh wondered, what is going on? And I'm sure some of his fighting men thought, what's going on? Our wheels are falling off. They were in perfect condition when we went after them. What's going on? And suddenly it hit them. Oh, the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. The Lord's fighting us. And then they remembered the plagues. And they said, let us flee. Whoops. Let us flee. Well, that was a bright idea, but it was too late. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. And that is what Moses did. And you can see not one of them remained. God took them all and judged all of them for their wickedness. Yes. The animals? Yeah, good question. I don't know if I have an answer. Is there anybody wise enough to answer that here among us? I don't know if I have a good answer for Abby.
Some of the Egyptians
get a cross. Say it again.
Did some of the
Egyptians
get a cross?
Cross?
Did some of the
Egyptians get a cross? I don't think so, because it says right back here, not so much as one of them remained. But I don't know. I don't know if you heard Abby. She wondered, why did the horses have to die? You know, anybody got a good answer? I'm not sure, Abby, but I would just have to say is that sometimes there is damage to people around us when we sin. And we can actually hurt other people and animals when we sin. And it's not the animal's fault. It was the Egyptians' fault. But does that help a little bit? Yep. Well, let's move on. So God saved them. Now, you know, we're back in Psalm 106. You know, we're going to stop now because we're out of time. But, you know, Psalm 106 is really an amazing psalm. And I would actually encourage you, moms and dads, if I piqued your interest at all, just go through it because it gives the entire history of Israel in one chapter of 50-odd verses. Do you know that? It not only covers Egypt to Canaan, it takes you to Joshua, it takes you to the end of 2 Chronicles and into the Babylonian captivity. I mean, it is the whole panorama. And it gives spiritual lessons that are more clear than in some of the long passages in the historical books. It's really an amazing psalm. But we have to stop now. But what was that one concept, boys and girls, that is so important to remember? Two things that will help us when we are tempted to sin. Saraya? Yes, that is good. As we pray, there's something we need to do with our memory. What do we need to do with our memory?
We need to remember what God can do.
Exactly. Nice job. Remember God and what?
Remember what he can do.
Yep, and yes. That's pretty good. Trust him. If you do that, you'll be praising him for sure, okay? Remember God and trust him. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this study that you've given us in the psalm. Thank you for helping my boys. And I pray for the hearts of the boys and girls that they would take it and believe it and hold these things fast in their hearts. All of us, we pray, Lord, help us to remember you and to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.